Dr. Rainey's gloom fest most of the time nowadays with this whole coronavirus. I've decided I'm trying to find people that will take our mind off things at the end of the week. Bill Corbett, of course, is returning to AM 950. A very funny man indeed. Riff Tracks, MST3K. He's got a fundraiser that's going to be coming on up here a week from Saturday, and he's kind enough to join us to talk about things. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Matt, I hope I can degloom you, but no guarantees here.
Well, it's just it's nice just to talk to someone who, you know, it just we can talk about getting this through this together. I want to ask, how are you and your family doing? Everything okay there?
You know, we had a rough April. This is going to be even gloomier, but my wife actually got COVID.
Oh no.
And she is on the other side of it now. She's doing okay, but and it wasn't one of those, you know, you need a ventilator cases, but it's tenacious. She was just flat on her back for 5 weeks.
Wow.
And it's just so nasty. So that, if nothing else, made me take it seriously. Seeing it up close did that, mm-hmm. You know.
How are the kids doing? I mean, obviously it's one of those things where that's the thing I, you know, you just went through something that I've thought about a lot myself, is that what happens if one of the parents gets sick? I mean, how did the kids take this?
You know, they're great. They're doing okay. It's tough. As you have kids, I think roughly my kid's age,
yes.
Or give or take a few years. And it's, you know, the homeschooling, or as they are euphemistically calling it, distance education. it's a challenge. I mean, it's a challenge because it's basic. And I think the schools have been great, but it is like, it's like all the homework without the social life and the interaction. So, you know, the kids are really getting into their friends and their social life now. And being stuck with mom and dad for the better part of 6 weeks with nobody else is sort of like a teenage hell, you know?
Well, you should dress yourself up like the school marm from Little House on the Prairie and scare them to death.
Here's pretty much what I do anyway. Yeah.
You've got a really interesting perspective when it comes to Riff Tracks. And by the way, Riff Tracks, you can find them on Amazon Prime. You got tons of it's nice to see them finally get those up there. Those are brilliant.
Yeah, thank you. We've wormed our way into all these media platforms over the last couple of years. It's great.
Well, if you're needing a laugh, I want to highly recommend Amazon Prime. Go get it. There's tons of the Riff Tracks stuff is up there. Kevin, Mike, and Bill there, they're just very funny. You can find them there. But you guys, one of the things with Riff Tracks that you had been doing through Fathom is you'd been going down to Tennessee and you were going to did a show live that was beamed out to theaters and stuff. So obviously things with Riff Tracks, at least on the time being, on that capacity are on hold, correct?
Yeah, we had a show scheduled for June that we do out of a theater in Nashville, as per usual. It's just the production team we've hooked up with. And that's been postponed indefinitely. And we're hoping, you know, maybe late summer, early fall, but who knows? Mm-hmm. I certainly don't. So we just, you know, for the time being, we're keeping socially distant. And even the stuff we used to record together here, we have a little studio here that we do stuff where I had to set up a little studio in our walk-in closet, you know, and push my wife's stuff aside and just like find little things to make the sound all right. So it's weird, but we're keeping it lit at least.
Is it something where, because theaters, now I am one of these people that I just have a hard time believing that movie theaters are not going to come back. I think this movie, what, Trolls World Tour, they did streaming and it ended up making $100 million. So their feeling is, the movie companies feel is, well, maybe we couldn't do this thing online. But the reality is the experience of going to a theater is just so, it's addictive. It's much more enjoyable. I don't think I could, you know, see some of the big movies, especially like you saw Endgame and stuff like that. It just didn't have the impact, or the last Star Wars. It's much better to see on a big screen. Do you feel as if there's going to be pressure to move away from going and doing stuff into theaters once this is all over with?
I don't know. I mean, I think there will be pressure. I just don't know how successful it is, or even who the interested parties actually are. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you. I tend to agree with you that the theater experience will just never die in our lifetimes, at least, because you know, especially when this is over, people are going to want to get out and be around other people. And I think that's one of the prime places to do it, that and sports and, you know, live theater and museums and all that other stuff. But people are missing it. And restaurants, as you just mentioned before I came on, like that is something we miss, you know, and we're trying to do right by our local restaurants and whenever we can. I love it because it's an excuse to spend money and eat high-fat food and just say, we're helping the cause.
Well, it is. There is a part of that as I'm having my third Salisbury steak dripped in gravy with little potatoes and cheese on the side. You know what? Thank you
for your service.
Exactly. Oh, we got Bill Corbett joining us, Riff Trax, MST3K. So what are you watching? Since we are now all a streaming culture, a streaming world, what have you been watching? Has there been anything that's been on the top of your list?
You know, I've been trying to make up a considerable deficit in my knowledge of old movies. And you can find them if you dig around on, you know, and a lot of these platforms. So I just watched The Thin Man for the first time, that 1934 movie with the classic couple of William Powell and Myrna Loy. And it was just wonderful. I mean, so I've been getting to know like some of the older canon that I've neglected over the years. And it's funny to see that stuff and say, oh, that's where that reference comes from, or that's where that personality type comes from. So I've been giving myself a nice little education, and it's been fun. It makes me feel like, you know, a bit of a layabout, but I guess everybody's feeling a little bit that way these days.
But if you're going to do a layabout, I think I do need to sign up for Turner Classic Movies because they played so many of those great classic movies, and now it's a streaming service. Used to be free. Now it's you have to go watch AMC with their, you know, 9-minute commercial breaks. Thanks for that.
Yeah, right.
But they're, you're right. You sometimes can fall into a movie. I mean, I saw... It was 2 years ago. I had my kids sit down. We watched Ben-Hur over Easter. And, you know, to see kids watch a movie from the 1950s and the gladiator scene, the chariot race, and to see them just basically just on the edge of their seat like, wow, I can't believe this. It there are a lot of gems out there that we just don't see because the classics don't get played anymore.
Yeah, I rewatch. Like, there's a lot of stuff, too, that I saw, like, when I was in college and probably half drunk and at a midnight movie screening, like Sunset Boulevard, I had technically seen before, but I hadn't really watched it with, you know, the attention it deserves. And that's just a wonderful movie. A whole bunch of things like, Stanley Kubrick movie, Paths of Glory, starring Kirk Douglas, about World War One.
Yeah.
It's really something, and it's just relevant to everything going on right now about, you know, bombastic people in power who do things to cover their own butts. So I was glad to see that.
When you do look at a streaming service, because this brings up a very interesting point. Well, I'll just take Netflix. Now, Netflix, I did just watch Rosemary's Baby, which is another great film.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
One of the scariest.
Oh, very terrifying. And when I watch that movie, I keep saying to myself, you know, I understand that we need to give B-list and D-list celebrities their own movies and straight to streaming platform stuff, but couldn't you put a few more classics into your rotation here every time and at least kind of give something more to that? Because I'm always amazed at how few classic movies are in those streaming services, but here it is. I've got a dating show about some beach thing where they got to go. There seems to be they could be doing so much more with even a tighter budget. I mean, they could just air the movie for God's sakes.
Yeah, I don't know what the reason for it is. If they perceive it's lack of interest or the rights are tied up somehow, but you are able to get a surprising amount of like B and C and D list movies from that time, but not the classic movies. Like, there are endless westerns from the 1930s and 40s and 50s that are like, really? They did these many of them? And they, I guess they're fun, like, anthropologically, but they're not good movies.
Well, the westerns where the cars are in the background, stuff like that.
Right.
Did you watch Tiger King? Can I ask you, did you watch that thing?
I did not. I had a knee-jerk reaction to everybody on social media talking about it, and part of me was just like, no, I'm not going to get sucked into this. forget it. But I mean, I've heard from friends of mine that it really is fascinating, but part of me just was not in the place to go, all right, just absolutely bone stupid, destructive sociopaths. I think we that's pretty covered in the news these days.
Well, you're right. I don't think there's a redeeming damn quality to the thing. I watched it just because, the kids dragged me into it. But I will say this, here's the scariest part for you. And this is not encouraging you to watch it, because this is really the ugliest part of humanity on display. But yay, we are finally there. Bottom of the barrel.
That's called a Trump press conference. I don't think we need any to go beyond that.
But it is absolutely TV in the age of Trump. There is jaw-dropping moment after jaw-dropping moment. And I looked at my wife. We were, you know, later on, I think we were in like the fourth or fifth episode, and I looked at her and I said, they could not riff this on Riff Tracks or MST3K. They couldn't. It is unriffable because there are so many bouts of stupidity on display here that it becomes, there's nothing you could say about it. That's just itself. It shines on its own. You can't make comedy out of it.
Yeah. Sometimes there's just, that's just the case sometimes. Like, there's nothing more to be said. Mm-hmm. And in the television comedy writing business, that's called putting a hat on a hat. Basically, you have a joke already. You don't need a joke on top of the joke.
If I'm going to suggest someone watch, give me two Riff Tracks riffs you guys did, that would be a good place. If someone's right now, they've burned through all their stuff, they want to find something fun, they're on Prime, Amazon Prime, what two riffs could they find that you would say, these are the place you start with Riff Tracks?
Good question. I would say to sort of cover two different eras of really bad movies. I mean, the really worst of the worst. We do things that are like mediocre to bad, but then there are these golden, you know, just like almost unsurpassably bad movies. And one is the Ed Wood movie, Plan 9 from Outer Space, a classic bad movie, once called the worst movie of all time. I think it's been lapped a few times by a few other movies. And that's from the 1950s. One of my also personal favorites is Birdemic, which was made probably 10 years ago. And it was done in the Bay Area by a guy who is a big fan of Hitchcock's The Birds. So he rips off as much as he can from them. But he's also a guy who worked in Silicon Valley a lot. So there's this whole ridiculous big subplot about trading and getting, you know, stock options and stuff like that, that gets way far away from him. It's like it takes up too much of the movie. And it is so, it's just unbelievably bad. The attacking birds are these bad computer gifs, and they're swatting at them with hangers. So I just think that is a riot to watch.
Birdemic,
that's where I'd start.
Birdemic is just atrocious.
Yeah, it is.
I also, your riff on Miami Connection, too.
That's a good one.
Whereas a lot of people, when they look back at MST3K, the one that always comes up, Manos, Hands of Fate. Is the one there. For Riff Tracks, I Miami Connection, I mean, God, you do that movie justice. You just, you know, it is proof that you can have something that bad, something that jaw-dropping, but you still can riff on it, and you make a better product. You guys do so nice with that.
Well, thank you. That's it. It's a little scam we've been getting away with for decades, and we're not going to drop it anytime soon.
and nor should you. We need you now more than ever. You and Kevin and Mike, by God, we need you guys more than ever at this point. I want to make sure we mention this fundraiser you got going on. You wrote a comedy called Hate Mail.
Yeah, it's not a new thing, and it premiered here in the Twin Cities like in the late 90s. So it's over 20 years old. And I wrote it with another local writer, Kira Obolensky. She's a playwright. But it's had a life, like, just keeps going on and on because it's a two-character play. And I had the idea that maybe it could be done online with some actors. It's the perfect thing. It's just sort of an epistolary play that's just letters back and forth that escalate. And so I asked two of my favorite performers. One of them is, her name is Ray Seahorn, and she plays Kim Wexler on Better Call Saul, the show on now. And she's just a great actor. I worked with her in D.C. some years ago. She was in a play of mine. And luckily, she agreed to do it. And Paul F. Tompkins, who's a comedian and voiceover actor, he's just one of the funniest people in the world. So next Saturday, we're going to do it online as a benefit for Partners in Health, which is a Boston-based organization getting, you know, medical equipment and care to people for COVID-19.
It's going to be at 8 o'clock Central Time. Next week from Saturday. I'm going to make sure I get the link up on social media. So go to the Matt McNeil Show on Twitter. Go as well to Progressive Citizen X. We'll go there. But there's a place for you to get the tickets for this online performance. And once again, it is a fundraiser. So let's try. I mean, it's a Saturday night. Go get some food from one of the Eat Local restaurants. Come home, sit down, and enjoy it. Because it's very nice of you to step on and do this. Whose idea was it to do this as a fundraiser?
It was mine. I was bored. Nice. And like, I saw, actually, to be fair, I saw some other, you know, some other friends of mine doing stuff like this. And I saw, well, it's all moving online. And this seems possible with Zoom technology that everybody is meeting with. So, yeah, it was something to do in isolation here. It just happened.
Bill, thank you. God, it's always nice to catch up with you. I appreciate it. All my best to your wife and your family. I hope everything goes well there. All my best to Kevin and Mike as well, and you guys on Riff Tracks. Hopefully we'll see you back in the theaters before long, and nice job here on the fundraiser a week from tomorrow.
Thank you, Matt, and good health to you and yours too.
Bill Corbett, once again, Riff Tracks MST3K with Spotlight this interview for sure. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.